So the theme for this evening is choiceless awareness, but it's not going to be your typical Thursday evening talk. So I'm going to just speak for a few moments, you know, maybe about 10 minutes about choiceless awareness, and then we're going to do an experiential exercise around choiceless awareness. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. So typically in our meditation practice, the initial instructions have us choosing an anchor for our attention. We anchor our attention often on our breathing, on the sensations of breathing, the in and out sensations either at the nostrils, at the abdomen. And we anchor our attention there, and we cultivate some concentration as we pay attention to our breathing. But as we develop in the practice, as we become familiar with this particular technique that we teach here, which is mindfulness, we don't just stay with the sensations of breathing. When something else arises in our experience that's strong or predominant and pulls us away from the sensations of breathing, we allow our mindful attention to just take in that object, whatever it is, whether it's a sound or another body sensation, or a thought, or an emotion. We just allow those things to come up, be witnessed in awareness, and when they are no longer so compelling, the instructions are usually to come back to pay attention to the sensations of breathing as an anchor, as a grounding, a way to ground our attention. So that's the kind of minute summary of the basic instructions that we usually give here. But the thing we talk less often about here is that what this ultimately begins to lead to is the ability to just notice whatever is happening in our experience without the need to anchor ourselves on anything in particular. The ability to just know whatever is happening right now, right in this present moment, with the flowing quality of awareness. This could be called choiceless awareness. This quality of the ability of the mind to just know in the present moment, to be aware in the present moment of whatever is happening without any particular choosing or directing of the mind to any particular object. Typically, we choose or direct our attention. We focus on the breath, and that becomes the place we come back to. But in this, in choiceless awareness, we don't particularly have an anchor for our attention. We simply notice the next thing that comes up in our awareness. The next thing, the next thing, the next thing. Partly why I'm talking about this evening is because this kind of awareness is really useful in our daily life. The ability to have this kind of awareness of whatever is happening is very useful as we go through our day-to-day activities. It's not so often when we're working on the computer or driving in the car that we typically think, oh, come back to your breath. You know, we're more focused on whatever is happening in the present moment. We're focused on doing our task on the computer or making sure we're driving safely in the car. But we can also bring a mindful awareness to whatever is happening. There's a way in which we can wake up to whatever we are already aware of. So in this moment right now, what is the most obvious thing in your awareness? Perhaps the pressure of your butt on the chair or cushion, or a mood perhaps in your experience, or the sound of my voice. Any one of those things might be kind of obvious, just as you now pay attention. So there's a way in which we can cultivate this choiceless awareness, this more fluid kind of knowing just what is happening in the present moment. One of the benefits of this type of awareness is that it just keeps going. If you're able to stay connected with it's like connecting with the flow of your experience. It's like getting onto the flow of your experience and riding it with mindfulness. And in that flow, what you see is that nothing stays around for very long. There's always something new that's kind of coming into our awareness, a new sight, a new sound, a new body sensation. There's always something new coming, even if there's an emotion that comes up, confusion or anger. In the next moment, if you're paying attention in this way, you'll notice, oh, there's a sight. And the anger kind of recedes, or the confusion disappears because suddenly there's something that's clearly being paid attention to. So this kind of mindful awareness helps us to flow through our experience without sticking to things. So it really helps us with that letting go of clinging to whatever we are experiencing, to just recognize what's happening right now, what's happening right now, what's happening right now. Sometimes Gil likes to say, mindfulness stops for nothing. And that's the kind of way in which to approach this kind of choiceless awareness. But this is not an easy kind of awareness to cultivate. What typically happens when we sit down in meditation, if we try to just be aware of whatever's happening in our experience, whatever our mind is doing, we typically will leap onto some kind of thought or catch up to some kind of sense object and start thinking about it. So it's very difficult to stay steady just recognizing this is what's happening, this is what's happening, this is what's happening. It's very challenging. This is why we offer an anchor in the instructions, because it is so difficult to simply sit down and pay attention to whatever is happening. But I've learned a technique recently which I find very helpful for beginning to get a taste for what this flow of mindfulness feels like, for what this flow of meditation feels like. I was at a retreat a couple of weeks ago now where we did a number of these kind of exercises, and I'd like to share one of them with you because it's such an interesting exercise. So it's an exercise essentially of mindfulness out loud, to speak your experience in the moment. What is happening to you right now? Speaking your experience right now. And the way we do this is to get into pairs. So in a few moments, after I've described the entirety of the exercise, we'll get into pairs, and we'll do this exercise. So what we'll do is one person will do this mindfulness out loud for 7 minutes. And then we will sit in silent meditation for 5 minutes. After you've done that exercise of doing it out loud, sit in silent meditation for 5 minutes, and I think you'll see a carryover of that experience into the silent meditation experience. And then the other person will do 7 minutes of mindfulness out loud, and then we'll sit again for 5 minutes. So it'll be 25 minutes altogether, 7 minutes or 24, 7 minutes, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 5 minutes. And then we'll come back together and discuss what's happened. Now, it's not just a stream of consciousness. There's a very formal way in which we're going to do this mindfulness out loud. We'll use a phrase to prompt the continuing of this practice. So we'll say, or the one person who's doing the out loud exercise will say, "Now I am aware of," and then whatever it is that you're aware of. So in this exercise, it's helpful if you don't pick something, or when you say, "Now I am aware of," if you like hear a sound and you say, "Now I am aware of," and you're thinking of that sound that you heard at the beginning of the phrase, it's already gone. So it's most helpful to just launch into the phrase with this sense of having no idea what you're going to be aware of when you come to that point in the phrase, and then at that moment say, whatever it is, now I am aware of vibration. Now I am aware of seeing. So just whatever it is, when you get to that point, that's what you say. Now, this can also often produce some kinds of interesting, confusing mind states when you start this exercise, because it's like, I don't know what I'm aware of. You know, there's the feeling like, now I'm aware of, I have no idea what I'm aware of. And you know, we get kind of frozen or confused. So in that, if that happens to you, you can just say, now I'm aware of confusion. Now I'm aware of searching for something to pay attention to. So allow yourself to go into what the mind, how the mind is reacting to this exercise as well. And also, allow yourself to go into moods and feelings. As you go on in this exercise, you may notice shifts of moods, and they may become clear or obvious. You may notice calmness or happiness or fear or irritation. You may notice those things. So you can allow those to come into the experience as well. I would encourage you not to get too descriptive about what you're experiencing. So, for instance, you don't need to say, now I am aware of seeing the person on the other side of the room. You can just say, now I'm aware of seeing. You know what you're aware of in the seeing. That's all that's really necessary. You don't need to explain it to the other person. So now I'm aware of seeing. Now I'm aware of hearing. And you could all name body sensations, pressure, heat, vibration, coolness, tension, tightness, pulling, movement, all those different kinds of things. Emotions. You can also name thoughts if you notice that you're spending some time thinking. Now I'm aware of thinking. When you're on the listening side, your task is to listen to what's being said and notice the impact it has on you. So you're being mindful of your own experience, but as you're taking in the stream of what the other person is saying, notice how it is impacting you. What's happening to you as the other person is speaking. So are there any questions about how this works? Elaine? Yeah, just now I am aware of seeing. Now I am aware of... So just... But just keep the phrase going. You know, you don't have to know what you're going to be aware of when you get to the end of it. Just, I find that launching into the phrase is kind of... It may be a little unsettling. It's like, I don't know what I'm going to be aware of in that moment. So it can be a little bit... unsettling, but just launch into it and then just name whatever it is when you get there. And the pace, just keep the pace going at a kind of a slow, steady pace. Any other questions? That's up to the pair, how you feel about that. You know, you don't have to talk about it or anything, but you don't have to make eye contact. You don't have to sit with your eyes open. I recommend that when you do this exercise, when you're actually doing it, it's helpful at least part of the time to try it with your eyes open. At least part of the time. Part of the time you could have your eyes closed if you like, if it's easier to contact what you're experiencing with your eyes closed. But play with it with your eyes open, because it's very interesting to see how the awareness will flow between all the stuff in your seeing in the seeing realm and all the stuff in your the physical body. So, any other questions? Okay, so find a partner. I'll ring the bell when we're going to begin, so we're not ready to start just yet. When I ring the bell, choose who's going to go first. And also, it helps in this exercise since there's so many of us. You know, some of you might want to move out into the other room, but keep your voices on the low side as you're doing this. Don't speak at a normal tone of voice, because it can be a little hard to do the exercise with so much commotion in the room. So keep your voices on the low side. And okay, so we'll start. I'll ring the bell and we can start. And then in 7 minutes, I'll ring the bell. And then after that, we'll sit for 5 minutes. And then I'll ring the bell after 5 minutes. And then we'll do switch and the other person will do it. And then we'll do it for five. We'll sit for 5 minutes and then I'll ring the bell again and we'll go back to our places. Okay. So switch. Anyone willing to share through the mic?
Did you raise your hand? You know, it's very interesting because when my after the meditation immediately following my partner's, I'm aware of, I was actually much more able to. You know, what I'm aware of this, I'm aware of that. Whereas after my turn, what I was mostly aware of was this pressure in my head, you know, because I was so concentrated, I think.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. And the other thing I was aware of was that my partner, I think my partner's I'm aware of were much more interesting than mine.
So I'm curious for just a second. You said the pressure in your head after you did your own one. Is that just basically what you then paid attention to, just the pressure in your head, or was there some kind of judgment or?
No, it was. I think it was just attention from concentrating, and I mean towards the end of my I'm aware of, I was just, you know, concentrating on that and letting it go, but it certainly carried into the meditation.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay. Thank you.
That's so funny because I can, when you were speaking, I was trying to be receptive for you, but it slipped through my mind several times. Wow, she's much better centered than I am. Because I was off, kind of, on every angle. Yeah, that's really interesting. And I felt like I kind of took poetic license or something like that of some prompt, and I just started going. But then I reached a certain, like, saturation point where I feel like I got all the essentials out, and then there was just a level of comfort, and that level of comfort carried through to the meditation period. And then when you were speaking, it balanced me, and then that meditation period after that was very balanced.
Interesting.
It was interesting.
Pass it to the back. Can you guys hear back there? Or is it coming through the mic when people are speaking?
Yeah, so it was a lot more. Initially, it was a lot more challenging than I thought. And as a few minutes went on, what I really enjoyed is how aware of my body I was. I just, you know, initially I think I was sort of in my head, and then as I relaxed, I just was so aware of my body, and I kept coming back to my feet and my this, and it felt really good. It felt like the first time today I've actually been in my body. So that was really great. And I also found listening to my partner so fascinating, you know, and I too agree. I was like, oh, she's so much more interesting than I, you know. So it must be because we're just hearing someone else's thoughts, and they're not really where our head's at. At least for me, it was. And so that is just amazing. I learned just as much from hearing her as I did from doing the exercise myself.
And how about what was the impact it had on you aside from thinking she was more interesting? In terms of, did you notice what happened in your mind as you were listening?
Not so much, but I felt my body was relaxing, listening. I was really enjoying just the listening part, maybe after.
So kind of a flow of just listening?
Yes.
Was relaxing.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I noticed I couldn't find my feelings. Like you had said, let your feelings be part of the experience if you can. And so I would find myself trying to find my feelings. So then I would, what would supersede it was trying.
Uh-huh. That's perfect.
You know? And then the only time I found a feeling was when it was related to the specific exercise, when I found I felt like feeling like stopping this. I don't want to do this anymore. And now I'm noticing I'm angry, you know, and then it was real.
Uh-huh,
I could tap it, like the feeling of having to do something I didn't want to do anymore.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, when I had that thought of checking in to see what I was feeling about anything else, I couldn't.
But you did just the right thing. The trying was what was happening.
Yeah.
And so that was what you were actually noticing.
I was trying a lot. I kept trying.
What happened right after the angry? Did you stay angry?
No, because I went on to, moved.
That's something to notice.
Yeah.
To notice that is impermanent.
Yeah.
You know, because we often think when those things come up, when anger comes up, for instance, it's like we so identify with it, it becomes us so much that, you know, it's like why wouldn't you stay angry? Because that's who you are in that moment. But in this exercise, you see, it's just like, oh, well, seeing. Seeing's next.
Yeah.
And it just kind of dissipates the anger. So
I love the exercise. I thank you for doing that.
I think the thing that was most noticeable for me was surprise. And you kind of reminded me of it when you were just talking about the anger. When my partner was talking, I found myself being surprised at how quickly the emotion would switch. There would be something negative, and then it's like, well, how can that be so positive next? You know, I was sort of listening to that and being surprised by that. And I also at one point found that the listening sort of took this flow. It was just, there didn't seem like there was any trying in the listening or his speaking or anything like that. And then when I was speaking, there were a couple of times when I said things and I thought, I am noticing that. I mean, it's like it was a total surprise that word came out of my mouth. I had no idea that's what I was noticing. And that was really cool. But then when I was sitting afterward, I was sitting there with this expectation because I had sort of become very settled and very concentrated. And I was sitting there with this expectation that I would have a very concentrated 5 minutes. And at one point, I thought to myself, now I'm noticing wanting. It's like I'm wanting the thing. And it all just sort of dissipated. And then there was just all this sort of, again, this easy flow of just what was going on. It was just, but thinking about it now, it just all feels like this just big surprise. All this stuff came up that I wouldn't have expected. And just sort of, that's what I was noticing pretty consistently. So.
Thank you.
So I noticed listening to my partner that I had a thought, oh, I didn't do it right. And, well, how come I didn't have any feelings come up? And then it's like, well, because you noticed you were thinking, and thinking is what drives feelings.
Hmm.
And it's like, oh, if I can just notice my thoughts, maybe I wouldn't get so hooked into the feelings, you know, that hook me.
There's a great deal of truth to that. It goes both ways. You know, very often thoughts do trigger emotion. That's one of the main ways we get into emotions. A thought comes up and we think, oh, they shouldn't have done that, and then we're off. But, you know, it does go the other way, too, that emotions can come up and they'll trigger thoughts. Like, I found for myself in this exercise, happiness came up just because there was this kind of flow and the, you know, that just like, oh, this is happy making. I'm happy. I'm happy. Now I'm noticing happiness several times in a row. So, you know, it's not always that thoughts produce emotion, but that's probably one of the main ways that we particularly get into the emotions that we identify with. So that's probably part of the reason. You're right. So good to notice that.
I noticed what I was aware of changed so quickly
that I really had to abbreviate what I had to say. So it really had to be seeing, because what I saw would have taken 4 words. And I felt like, oh, you missed that. everything changed so quickly.
Well, I think one thing this exercise can do is point out, actually, you probably noticed a lot more than you said. I mean, many of you probably noticed that you noticed something just as you were beginning to speak and in the middle of speaking, and then by the time you got to the place where you're supposed to speak, to say the thing you were noticing, it 3 or 4 things had gone by already. And that's great, because it's really just pointing out the more of the continuity of the awareness that's coming in there. So, yeah, things do change very quickly. That's another way this practice of choiceless awareness really points to that impermanent quality of experience. So it's kind of a really direct road into that impermanent nature of experience.
So I found my energy going up and down as I was listening to my partner. And at one point when it was starting to settle, well, this is really neat, and I sort of expected it to stay sort of settled, and it didn't. But I was afterwards thinking, well, why was it settling? And there was this sense of it felt very safe to be next to someone who was just observing stuff and not reacting to it.
Mm. That's a really lovely observation, because it's true. You know, this mindfulness is, sometimes they talk about it as a gift of safety, you know, when you're with somebody who is mindful and non-reactive, I think there is a strong sense of that safety. So really, thank you for pointing that out. Mary.
Your comment about the impermanence and how quickly things change was the original thing I was going to say, because when I went into my own silent 5 minutes without the I'm now aware of, that it was just like one right after the other. But then when you said that, I thought, even though experience is impermanent, some things, when I was speaking out loud or by myself, they just kept coming back. Mm-hmm. And so it has the feeling of permanence. It's like kind of like, you know, if you get too far away from something, you can't tell that it's not connected anymore. So that's what I thought when you just said that.
Yes, that's exactly right, what you're saying. It appears that things are permanent because we're not actually really observing them and noticing them. And I think that's one of the things that we're fooled by, particularly around things like strong emotions. You know, when strong, I used to have a lot of anger in my experience, and you know, I thought the anger was basically always there, because whenever I looked for it, it was there. And whenever I, you know, thought about the person that I was angry with, the anger was there. You know, it's kind of like, well, it's always there. But as I began to actually explore it with mindfulness, I actually saw it disappears. It actually disappears completely. It just, the causes and conditions are there to have it keep reconstructing because of habits. Because our habit of mind is so strong around that particular pattern, it just keeps reforming and reforming. But when we see that it actually is impermanent, that there are holes in that experience, it gives us a little bit of like, ah, it gives us a little bit. It's like poking holes in Swiss cheese, you know. It'll eventually fall apart if you poke enough holes in it, if you see its impermanent nature, its holy nature, you can say. A little pun there. I'm sorry, that was bad. How was the meditation for people? I mean, was it a different kind of experience for you in the meditation than you had experienced before? Some yeses. Yes. Maureen.
I found it a little lighter, that the not having to come back to my center maybe that's a little burden.
The coming back is the
coming back to the center is a bit of a task.
It is a task, yes. There's an efforting around it.
Yes, and there was an allowing and a noticing that isn't as, I don't think, is as present because I return to my breath.
Mm-hmm. But another thing I think that often happens is the first thing that happens when we notice we're not on the breath is that the first thing that occurs is that, oh, I'm not on the breath. You know, that's the first thing we notice usually. As opposed to waking up where we are, it's like, oh, I'm thinking, or oh, I'm seeing. You know, so it's this is a way to help us cut through that judgment also. You know, there's no need to there's no need to come back because you already are back when you notice that you have been lost. You already are back, and just being able to just know what is happening in that moment, recognize that, then you have a choice. You know, you can choose at that moment to direct yourself back to the breath. So it's not as much of an effortful thing. It's kind of like, okay, just come back. Or you can just allow the next thing to appear and just notice that. So, yeah. One more. Last one.
For me, I think it just puts some structure to the wandering.
The coming back does.
The now I'm aware of.
Oh, now I'm aware of, yes.
Yeah, and so in the meditation, it was like, I wasn't, you know, gone, lost in thought. It was like, now I'm aware of, I kind of continued that. And it was like, oh, this is so much easier.
It's true. The keeping saying the phrase does make it easier. You know, it's kind of like a little reminder. Pay attention. Every second we have to do that. So.
Right. It's like wandering in the forest, but knowing that you're wandering instead of just.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. So thank you all for being willing to participate in this. I know it's sometimes a little scary to do these dyad kind of things, but I appreciated it and enjoyed it, so I hope you also had some fun.